What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas, the DFS slate breakdown for the day. I'm your host, Sean Kane. We are coming at you Monday, July 17th. All is well here. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I know, man, dog days of summer. They're here. It's hot everywhere. Baseball is here. The trade deadline is approaching. We're going to keep our ear to the ground here as these little bits and pieces start to move around. You know, we had the Jose Quintana blockbuster. I don't know if we're going to see any more blockbusters. We did see the Nationals go out and get a couple of relievers. Smart. Needed it. But other than that, you know, the Yankees deal, that was about it. We're looking at some more deals. We're looking at some more baseball. Plenty of DFS to be played. Of course, now everybody and their mother's been paying attention to NBA Summer League and now the NFL rumblings and the, oh, Ezekiel Elliott just got in trouble yesterday. I mean, that's fine. That's all well and good, but I'm still paying attention to baseball, man. This is a good baseball season. This is one of the better, more fun baseball seasons that we have had in a long time. So much young talent. So you're coming here for Lineup Logic. You're coming here to talk, think baseball, and we got to break down this DFS slate. Before I go too much further, though, I wanted to look back. If you guys missed some of this content, and you may have been kind of taking a break from Twitter over the All-Star break, don't blame you at all. Everybody needs a little break from Twitter every once in a while. I kind of agree with that. But lineuplogicdfs.com, over at the website, we put up so much strategy content over the All-Star break. If you missed it, you've got to go check it out. Interview with writer and editor of FTA Fan Team Advice, Jamie Calandro. Follow him on Twitter, JAC3600. Absolutely excellent, excellent DFS player, writer. Interview with provider, Average Joe DFS. Great guy, friend of the show. Both had some really interesting ideas. We posted an excellent strategy piece from a listener of ours, Joe Berg. He wrote in and gave his kind of take on tournament tactics for MLB. An excellent strategy read. Just well-constructed, thoughtful ideas about pitching selection, stacks, etc. by Joe Berg. Tournament tactics video. And then four different research method videos from myself and Josh Fernandez, two on pitcher selection, one from Josh on how to attack bullpens, understanding bullpen flaws for baseball, and one about batter selection as well. So all of that stuff, man, if you are looking to improve your game, and you know what? I love lineup providers, but what's the fun in having a lineup provider and you can build your own lines? Hey, winning is fun, but yes, but I, you know, guys, I wouldn't do this podcast if I didn't think that people could learn how to be good DFS players on their own. So here we are. And with that objective in mind, we are going to jump into the Monday slate. We have, I believe, an 12 games on tonight's main slate. One game this afternoon, Nationals-Reds, should be another high-run affairs. It's 85 degrees this afternoon in Cincinnati, and that ballpark just gives up so many runs. Guys, just keep playing baseball in Cincinnati. Play DFS in Cincinnati. It's just one of the best ballparks during the summer for offense. So we're not touching that game, but if you wanted to play it, you know, I wouldn't blame you. There's some decent spots there. But it all starts tonight at 7:05. So let's jump in and figure out what we've got on the main slate this evening. All right, so Brewers Pirates, 9 runs here. Brent Suter versus Chad Kuhl. This one is you know, about even, a little bit of drizzle throughout the night. Shouldn't be too much of a rain concern. 4.4, just over 4 runs for both teams. Pirates favored by just a hair. Vegas really doesn't know what to do with this one, to be completely honest with you. We'll talk a little bit about some of the pitching options here. This could be a low-scoring game just because of the ballpark. You know, you take away some of the home run threat with that giant ballpark. Rangers-Orioles, this is one of the higher totals of the night. 10.5 runs in Camden. You've got wind blowing out to left at just 9 miles an hour. A little bit of rain in the forecast, but very, very light. Shouldn't be a problem. 85 degrees in Baltimore. Cashner versus Tillman. Two of the worst pitchers on the slate going head-to-head. Guys can't strike out a soul. This game is going to be chalky. It'll be popular with good reason. I don't think you can fade it completely. I think you got to have some exposure for sure. If you're building multiple lineups, you just kind of use these guys as fill-ins everywhere, Baltimore and Texas. We'll talk about both sides. Blue Jays, Red Sox, 9.5 runs in Fenway. Wind is blowing out at the Monster at 11 miles an hour. How about that Jackie Bradley catch last night, boy? Man, that guy has some athleticism. 9.5 runs projected here in this one. Just about a pick 'em as Stroman goes up against Erod. Erod making his first state start back after rehabbing a sore knee on the 10-day DL. He did a rehab start last week, looked sharp, so they're bringing him back up for a start against the Jays. Stroman in Fenway, we'll talk about it, don't worry. Cardinals-Mets, 9 runs projected here in Citi Field. Wind is blowing out to left at 11 miles per hour. It's 80 degrees. It'll be a nice night in New York for sure. 9 runs projected in just about a pick 'em with Adam Wainwright versus Zach Wheeler. Mets slightly favored in this one. This is an interesting game. I can't say I necessarily have a good beat on it. Two mediocre pitchers. This could be a boring game. This could also be, you know, an 8-run slugfest for both sides. I can't get a good read on it. That said, when you can't get a good read on a game, that's when it becomes a very good leverage spot because you're not the only one that can't get a good read on it. It means a lot of people probably are out there going, I don't know if I like this game that much. So Mets Cardinals could be an interesting spot to be a little bit contrarian. Phillies Marlins, 9 runs projected in Miami as Eichhoff goes up against Tom Kohler. Marlins favored in this one. You know, you got to think that some of these Marlins power bats are going to take some good swipes at Eichhoff. I don't mind the lefties, but it's not my favorite spot. You know, from a cost comparison standpoint, I think I'd rather spend my money in that Baltimore game. But it's not a bad spot at all. The Marlins usually go overlooked. Cubs Braves, 9 runs projected in Atlanta, 80 degrees down there tonight. John Lester versus Julio Teheran, and the Cubs have got about 5 flat runs here. Makes good sense. There are some lefties that should be able to put a hurt on Teheran here. So if you're looking at the Cubs, Ben Zobrist back in the lineup at the top of the order is an easy target. And obviously, Brian Rizzo, no-brainer. You never have to worry about whether or not you want to play them. Ian Happ has been great of late, so we'll keep looking at him, no problem. And Wilson Contreras has been really playing well. So Cubbies, not in a bad spot at all here. I'm not touching John Lester until I see him string together a couple halfway decent starts. And he's been too inconsistent lately. I just can't trust it. You know, he had a nice little run in June, a couple decent starts. Then he just got absolutely blown up in back-to-back starts. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of him. Yankees Twins, Brian Mitchell getting a start for the Yankees here and a spot start as their rotation is getting a little bit banged up. Yankees continue to deal with injuries versus Adalberto Mejia. No line in this one, but a little bit of wind in Minnesota out to left. 14 mile per hour, 90 degrees in Minnesota. Sneaky good weather in Minnesota. Keep an eye on this one. When this line comes out, guys, I really think that you could attack this game if you wanted to in your tournaments. Mariners, Astros, love this spot. 9 runs projected here. Lance McCullers versus Ariel Miranda. McCullers is by far, in a way, the best pitcher on the slate. It is not even close. And the Astros should be able to take advantage of Miranda. They've already seen him once this year. And kind of put a hurting on him. He, you know, a fly ball pitcher in this ballpark where you get cheap home runs, not a good situation. Great spot for the Astros. Tigers Royals, 10 runs projected here, 92 degrees in Kansas City. Don't forget how hot it gets in the Great Plains, man. It is going to be a hot one in Kansas City. In Kauffman, even with that big ballpark, you got to love how hot it is out there. A little bit of wind out to left field. Jordan Zimmermann versus Jason Vargas with 10 runs projected here. This total is rising. It did not open at 10 runs, guys. I think it opened at 9 or 9.5. And you got to love both sides of this game. Jordan Zimmermann is a certifiable gas can, gives up way too many homers. And Jason Vargas, he's a lefty, and we know what the Tigers do with lefties. So certainly an interesting game to stack. I will certainly have shares of both sides. Padres, Rockies in Coors, 11 runs projected with Luis Perdomo and Herman Marquez going up against each other. Rockies favored. Padres, they're interesting. Their implied total just has gone down. I actually think the total for this game has gone down now that I look at it. If I remember correctly, let me pull up line movement here on Fantasy Labs. I believe it opened at 11.5 and it is now down to 11. Let me see if that's the case that I was correct about. Yeah, Detroit, Kansas City is the biggest mover. Yeah, this one's losing momentum. Vegas opened it at the 11.5 and the public said, have you been watching these two teams? They're not that good. And I kind of agree with them, which puts Perdomo in an interesting spot, and we'll talk about what happens with ground ball pitchers at Coors. Tampa Bay versus Oakland, 9 runs projected here, wind out at O Coliseum, that giant ballpark we know, but it is only 66 degrees, Slate's lowest temperature in Oakland. You got to be aware of how good that is for pitchers, guys, compared to 92 in Kansas City versus 66 in Oakland. Now, these pitchers are not good. Jake Odorizzi versus Daniel Gossett. And you certainly could get leverage by rostering kind of what is a suboptimal weather situation in a late game here on the West Coast. Two bad pitchers. But it's very interesting to think about pitching in this situation when it has such a distinct weather advantage and ballpark advantage. Cleveland, San Francisco, 8.5 runs projected, 64 degrees in San Francisco. Guys, remember, the Bay is cold. It's cold. I saw some friends from San Francisco this weekend, and I was like, isn't it so tempting to want to go swimming all the time? And they're like, no, the beach is freezing. I'm like, that sucks. I imagine living at the beach in San Francisco and not being able to go swimming. Is it so damn cold all the time? It is, and it's going to be cold there tonight in San Francisco, 65 degrees. Wind is blowing out, but geez Louise, that is not exactly a great... it's a great situation for pitchers, but I'm not touching Matt Moore. I don't mind Josh Tomlin, I guess, but he doesn't have any strikeout upside. He's just a control guy. You know, I guess you're looking at Tomlin, you're hoping six innings and a win, maybe a couple extra swings and misses, because the dude literally has a range from anywhere in the last six starts, anywhere from -1 to 43 points. So a 44-point range for Tomlin. Go ahead and try and predict the outcome here. I have no idea. Against a team that doesn't really strike out, here's a guy who could give you 4 innings. He could give you 7 innings. It's very, very kind of difficult to predict with Tomlin. But he is a control guy. He's not going to walk anybody, so that's not a bad place to start. Those are what we got, guys, 12 games. So let's jump into the player breakdown. Let's figure out who we love. Who do you love? All righty. So when we start with the arms, we have almost nothing that immediately pops. You know, that's not fair. Lance McCullers is excellent, and we can't discount that. You know, he is not the highest priced pitcher. It's John Lester at 9,500, but McCullers is probably the best pitcher in this situation. I'm not going to necessarily go to Lester just because of the inconsistency. He could pitch a gem, and I think there will be people in the industry who take a risk on him and just say, you know what? There's leverage here. Everybody's seen Lester. The narrative around Lester is he's been inconsistent. He's too risky. makes sense. But there's a very good chance, you know, that he just goes back to being very solidly John Lester and getting you 7 Ks over 6 innings. That said, McCullers is probably the most chalky, safest option at 9,100. He's at home, which is very nice, and he will be pitching against the Mariners, who are a good baseball team against right-handed pitching. Don't get me wrong. They are above average offense against right-handed pitching. They have the lefties to do work here. But that said, we know Lance McCullers is an elite arm. I just can't completely say how confident I am in him of late. His last start was kind of a disaster. He got through 5 innings. He looked really solid. He got to the 5th and just blew up. Just pop. Got absolutely all the fantasy points that he had accrued just disappeared via earned runs. And he hadn't been getting a lot of strikeouts. Now, that was against Toronto. You compare the Toronto and Seattle offense, the difficult part is when you compare them, you're actually seeing an offense that's slightly better in a couple different metrics against right-handed pitching than the Blue Jays. In fact, you know, just on season WRC plus, Seattle sits in the top 10 at 6 overall at 107. You know, Toronto down at 22 with a 91 WRC plus. The difference being here is that I think McCullers has shown us that he's already pitched this team. The question is whether or not you think McCullers is healthy. I think that's the question. If you don't know if he's completely healthy or you're worried that he's not going to get 6 full innings, I think that's a consideration to fade him. But if you're saying to yourself, I think that that's fine, I think he'll be okay, makes sense by the numbers, he is your best option. 28% strikeout rate, 20% K to walk ratio with an XFIP in Sierra, unbelievably solid, 2.7 and 3.0. He's limiting fly balls, 18% fly ball rate, only 24% hard contact, slate high, 63% ground ball rate. You know, we can't assume that that Blue Jays game was now who Lance McCullers is. Can we question whether or not he's healthy? Yes. But I think that the Seattle matchup isn't necessarily terrifying given the other pitching options on the slate. Atlanta versus Lester scares me just as much. I don't necessarily love John Lester in this situation. Now, I don't mind that he gets to go up against a bunch of power lefties and he only has to deal with the righties. That, I think, is appealing to me. But really, Lance McCullers has to be, I think he has to be your top option here, right? I mean, you just can't necessarily go to a guy who's been absolutely getting blown up. That said, if you want to look at Lester, the argument for Lester is that he's much better against lefties than he is against righties. That's the argument for Lester. So if you're comparing the two, that's where you're at. Les McCullers, by the full numbers and the consistency, the overall season performance, is a much better pitcher. Lester, it could be in a better position based on the matchup and the number of lefties that he's going to see, being that the power from Atlanta comes on the left side of the plate. I just don't trust him right now. If you're pivoting, I think a lot of people will pivot to Marcus Stroman, and I'm going to talk about Stroman not because I love him. I love him as a pitcher in general. I don't know that I love him as a fantasy play tonight, and I'm going to talk about this. It's a complicated thing because Marcus Stroman has been really good of late. He's pitched some really tough teams. He's gone up against the Yankees for, I think, the third time this year. He pitched against them. He went 5 innings. He gave up some hits, but he didn't get into too much trouble. He pitched a gem against Houston, just stared them down, and they do very well against right-handed power pitchers. So it was interesting to see Stroman do so well against Houston. Offense in Boston that does not have nearly as much pop as Houston, but they are way more pesky, being that they are in a great ballpark with the wind blowing out. a low strikeout team. You put those things together, it just makes you wonder if you have a lot of confidence in Stroman. And I know, guys, normally you listen to this show to get takes about, you know, pointers, guys that I love. It's really hard to love a lot of people. So I'm going to be presenting a lot of, you know, neutral information. You heard the comparison of McCullers and Lester. You're going to be getting a lot of neutral information. Make your own decision, because I honestly can't tout anyone. I never will claim to call myself a tout, but I can't tout anyone necessarily tonight with extreme confidence, because I think there's caveats to any of these pitchers, even if some of them are good on paper. Stroman is certainly that. 20% strikeout rate, 14% K to walk ratio. Fine. That's not why you roster him. 60% ground ball rate, limiting hard contact to only 30%. That's why you roster him. You love the batted ball profile, the consistency, the ability to pitch deep. For a team that has terrible power, too, the Red Sox have no power. They have one of the worst team ISOs in baseball. The difficulty is you look at the history of the matchup here. He already pitched once against them this year. They kind of peppered him. They got 11 hits off of him. Guys like Bogarts and Pedroia, the contact hitters, they have good BVP in this situation. And it makes a lot of good sense, because they're guys who have very, very disciplined plate approaches. They're not going to swing unnecessarily. They're not going to swing for the fences. They are going to wait for a contact pitch, a line drive. They're going to take a single and get on base. That's kind of what a ground ball pitcher offers you. If one of those balls doesn't actually hit the bottom of the zone, or if it's off its spot, whatever the case may be, you can turn it into a line drive easily. So that's where Stroman is going to struggle. Now, the other problem that we have here, despite the fact that he's been pitching extremely well of late, after that Texas start, by the way, his game logs have been absolutely excellent. He's had three back, you know, very, very solid starts that indicate he's found his form again. The real difficulty is that the Red Sox perform really, really well against ground ball pitchers. So, you know, I just kept diving into this. They underperform projections by about 10 points. And there's a decent sample size over the last year. They only have a 16% consistency rating, which means that they're only hitting projections a very rare, you know, 16% of the time. I think in the same game, you're actually more interested in E-Rod. E-Rod, he's back at it, you know, and we haven't talked about him in a while, but a 26% strikeout rate for Toronto, 21% strikeout rate for Toronto against lefties. They have a 94 WRC plus. They're just below average. We know they're not that exciting of an offense. They do have pop, but if they don't hit the home run ball, then they don't hit the home run ball. The thing about E-Rod is 26% K rate. That's the second highest on the straight slate behind McCullers, a 17% K to walk ratio with an XFIP and Sierra just above 4. Now, that indicates that he is, you know, a below-average pitcher in a lot of metrics, but he's not the worst pitcher in the world. I think if you need strikeouts, you have to look at E-Rod. He's the only other guy besides Lester and McCullers who's proven he can get him at an above-average rate. He threw 6 innings in his rehab start. You got to think he's comfortable. It's just a sore knee. I don't think it's going to be anything that limits him. You know, it's not his throwing arm or shoulder or anything like that. The issue with both of these pitchers, this is frustrating. You have two high quality options in this game, right? Stroman and E-Rod are both great options. And if you wanted to get off of McCullers, I think that on paper, both of these guys would be great. Wind out, small ballpark, high total. Vegas is looking at this situation and they just smell runs. One of these guys could very easily get blown up, and then one of these, the opposite could absolutely happen here, and they could get, you know, this could be a very boring game. But I'm going to say that I think it's safe. I think it's more safe to go up to Lester and McCullers than it would be to go down to Stroman or E-Rod, as far as just a security stance. If I had to pick between Stroman and E-Rod, I'm going to go to E-Rod. mostly because I know the strikeout rate is there. Now, I love Marcus Stroman, and I think he could pitch a gem. He's a very dominant pitcher. He could get into a groove and really take advantage of it. But with that ballpark and the trends, knowing what we do, what Boston does against ground ball pitchers, I don't necessarily love that spot for him. I think if you want to pivot down, if you want a pitcher that accommodates Coors, for example, if you want a pitcher that's just going to kind of give you a floor, you could look at Brent Suter. He's got Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh, we know, is an average offense with a pesky, you know, no strikeout mentality. They have a couple good righties that you got to worry about, namely Andrew McCutchen continues to be excellent. But Suter is one of the only other guys with over a 21% K rate here. Everybody else is very middling average K rate. Sierra under 4. He's limiting home runs, 0.3 home runs per 9. He's been solid in his last two starts. He's been very good. Both of them were quality starts. He got through 6 innings. He had 5 Ks in one, 8 Ks in another. You got a massive ballpark in Pittsburgh. That's great. His splits are clean. That's great. Lefties, righties, doesn't matter who's getting. Nobody's really getting to him too hard. Hard contact is limited. So is the upside, though. You know, you're pitching against Pittsburgh. Your upside is always limited because this team is very disciplined, and they're probably going to get on base. They're probably going to score some runs. I think that you could get 25-plus points from Suter here in this situation, maybe 6 innings, a couple earned, and 4 or 5 strikeouts. And if that's what you want in order to get to Coors, then I think that that's not the worst thing in the world. That's where I would go. So, in summary, we're talking pitchers. We're talking I think rankings-wise, I would say McCullers 1, Lester 2, Erod 3, Stroman 4, Suter, or whoever else you feel like taking a flyer on, 5. Do I think that that's how the end of the night performance will shake out? No, I think someone will probably show up and surprise us in this 6-7K reign, whether it's, you know, Chad Kuhl, Eichhoff, Kohler, Zach Wheeler. One of these guys will show up and kind of, you know, take the wind out of everybody's sails and, you know, for some reason find a groove and go for 40 fantasy points that no one really saw except for a couple random lineups out there. So I will say one of the distinct advantages that there may be is going to a guy, Jake Odorizzi and Josh Tomlin. The one thing that they have going for them right now is they have Vegas on their side. Okay. They have some pretty low totals on the night and they have really nice weather situations. That said, they're pitchers that with extreme weaknesses statistically speaking. So when we're analyzing statistics, it's very difficult for me to recommend them. But when we're analyzing situation, it's a little bit easier to recommend them. So that's our pitching breakdown. I'm going to probably look towards McCullers in a lot of spots here. Definitely going to take some chances as well, perhaps on Erod to see if he can get some strikeouts for me. Let's talk a little bit about bats, and we got to start with bats. We got to start with Coors. We got Germán Márquez versus Mr. Luis Groundball Perdomo. You know, there's a reason this total has gone down because both of these pitchers are kind of boring. Germán Márquez has actually been pretty solid at home. In his last 3 starts at home, he's gotten himself almost 30 fantasy points. You know, he is just kind of a very mediocre pitcher. He's probably going to go anywhere between 4 and 7 innings. Going to allow some hits for sure, but he's going to gain some ground balls. He's going to get a couple strikeouts here and there, but not many. He has seen a couple extra strikeouts in his last 2 opponents. The White Sox and then the Diamondbacks are 2 teams that do strike out a lot. And as do the Padres. So if you wanted to take a risk on a Márquez at home, I guess you could and just hope that the Padres swing. I don't know necessarily how much I love stacking either one of these teams. Perdomo has one of the best ground ball rates in Major League Baseball. and ground balls and core ground ball pitchers and cores actually perform extremely well. I ran that trend. I looked at it. They outperform their projections by 2 points, and with 65% consistency rating, which means 65% of the time we're seeing them hit their projections, according to trends. And if you're wondering where I get these trends, I run these trends on Fantasy Labs. It's an amazing tool that they have over there. So I'm not going to claim that that's my own research or work. It's via their tool, which is one of the better tools in the industry. So, you know, from a batting perspective, you could stack the lefties here, and the Padres lefties are cheap enough, and their total is appealing enough, and their ballpark is appealing enough that you could very easily go to, you know, Carlos Asuaje, Jose Perella, Corey Spangenberg, and God, I wish Hunter Renfroe wasn't hurt. If Hunter Renfroe, oh no, sorry, Hunter Renfroe is a lefty masher, excuse me. So we can look at the lefties here. I think, you know, we can certainly look at the lefties against Marquez, but I don't necessarily see too much in this game. On the Colorado side, you know, Perdomo at home is always an option for fantasy. Perdomo in Coors doesn't necessarily inspire a whole lot of confidence, but you guys know my take on the Rockies. I'm not in love with them. I don't think they're that good. But given their recent performances, they're relatively cheap, with the exception of Blackman and Arenado. You know, all these righties are pretty inexpensive. So it's not a bad spot, considering. That said, I think that there's a lot of offense on this slate that I have a lot more interest in, and that starts with Houston. This is my favorite stud stack of the night, high-cost, high-value stack. Ariel Miranda is a problem for these Houston. He's going to have a problem as a lefty. Fly ball pitcher, that's a problem in this ballpark. Okay, this is the cheapest home run ballpark in Major League Baseball. The Crawford boxes in the corners allow batters to pull the ball, and even if you only get to 330, it goes out. That's craziness. 330, 325, that's easy, easy, easy. Just ask a guy in Major League Baseball to pull the ball 330 feet. He's going to hit it out every goddamn time. Stroh's excellent spot here against the lefty. We got to check to make sure we know who's hitting lefties the best. The numbers are all insane. Excellent, excellent numbers, but there's some guys that you just don't need in your lineup. Specifically, you know, Brian McCann, Evan Gattis, Carlos Beltran. I just don't think you need them. They're just not hitting that well. A couple guys I really want to make sure you know normally hit right-handed pitching better than left-handed pitching. Marwin actually hits righties better than lefties. Marwin over Yuli, but they're not both at first base now, so you don't have to decide between them. You can have them both, which is nice, actually. Yuli has been on an absolute tear recently, though, so I don't mind Yuli Gurriel. You can add Springer, Altuve, and Correa with no problem, depending on who you can afford. They're all above 4K. The last one that you really need to consider is Alex Bregman, who has been heating up. His price is up to 3K, which is still too cheap for getting shares of this offense. So I think you can stack them any way you want. You can go with the pricey studs, you know, Altuve, Correa, and Springer. You can mix one of those guys in with some of the cheaper ones like Yuli Gurriel and Alex Bregman. Those are always in a good spot. But the lower half, the middle half stack is always the cheaper owned stack, or the lower owned stack rather than the top. But you've got to have some shares of Houston across your lineups tonight. There's a very good chance that they get to Ariel Miranda for the tune of two home runs early and get him out of the game. And they'll be working against the Seattle bullpen that has had its issues this year, no doubt about it. So Houston is where I'm spending a lot of my money. But I think my favorite game of the night was some mid-priced bats, 3K range. I love this Texas-Baltimore game. This has got the highest total on the night besides Coors. It makes a good sense, you know, makes good sense. Wind is out at Camden. It's warm in Camden. Power bats against bad pitchers like Cashner and Tillman. Now, Andrew Cashner is a frustrating, tilting guy. He can go deep into games and just limit, which is partially why I would love to go maybe towards the Texas side. You guys know I love the Texas Rangers anyway. But if you're going up against Cashner, take the classics. Mr. Positive Regression himself, Manny Machado, you know, against bad pitching guys, Machado just, he'll find a ball. He's going to find the ball. He will score fantasy points tonight. Now, will he go yard? I don't know, but he will find the ball. Jones is too cheap. Seth Smith is going to be the leadoff. We know that. He'll be a cheap leadoff option in a lot of lineups. Trumbo seems like he was heating up. He really was. Then he took three strikeouts yesterday. Not my favorite thing to see from a guy who was really, really, really starting to click. So I think you can look at Mark Trumbo here in this spot. Certainly don't mind him. I prefer him against the lefty, but his numbers are trending in the right direction. By the numbers, though, on the Orioles, the two best hitters against right-handed pitching, Trey Mancini and John Schoop. You got a 6 and 7 hitter right there in the middle bottom of the order that are probably going to come lower owned. And they've just been the most consistent as far as getting on base, hitting for good numbers. They are two pieces of this lineup that will rarely get rostered. But they have been hitting extremely well. And if you like the Orioles' chances to extend this game by getting on base, getting some walks, which you got to hope they can do, then you got to think that Schoop and Mancini may get a couple extra at-bats. They're both 3-2, I think. They're both 3-2, very reasonable prices. On the Texas side, stack them any way you want, man. You know we got Beltre and Gomez, who are righties that hit righties, and then you get three lefties that I love, and Chu, Mazzara, Odor. And don't forget Elvis Andrus. He's been excellent as well. So I have no problem going up against Tillman. 4% K to walk ratio with a 5.5 Sierra. 400 wOBA to left-handers and right-handers. Jeez Louise, this guy's bad. 33% hard contact to lefties. 37 to right-handed. Yikes. He's going to be in big trouble tonight against this Texas team. They could be the chalk here. They're too easy to fit in. The only expensive one is Beltre. That's it. So play the rest of them. Play them all. Play the Odor. It's easy to get a four-man that's very, very affordable. It's easy to game stack this because you can find a lot of different ways to mix and match. You're not tied down. It's very easy to game stack. It's very easy to stack Texas any way you want because they have the middle infielders that you like. They also have outfielders that you like. So there's plenty of different ways to approach Texas in this situation. I love this game. But I do think it will get high ownership. East Coast game, recognizable ballpark situation, recognizably bad pitchers. So I do think you're looking at, on the more popular bats, over 15 to 20% ownership just because their prices are so affordable. On the Texas side, on the other side of the ownership spectrum, I think Cleveland will go overlooked tonight. In the late game against Matt Moore in this ballpark, I think that people will probably go up against this situation. And I, even though the weather and the ballpark situation are not perfect, and Vegas only has 8.5 runs, and most of these games are 9, 9.5, almost 10, this is a great situation. Matt Moore is absolutely terrible. Does not strike out a soul. XFIP and Sierra above 5. ERA of 6, one of the highest on the slate. Terrible. Terrible, terrible pitcher. I think Brandon Guyer's probably going to be towards the top of the lineup. He has been against lefties. He will probably get up there, and they'll move, you know, Michael Brantley down. That's great. Brandon Guyer's $2,200. Okay, E5 and Lindor, they hit lefties extremely well. In fact, Lindor hits lefties better than he hits righties, so feel free to roster Frankie Lindor. Austin Jackson may be in the six hole. He is a great bat against lefties. Yan Gomes is a nice catcher option as well. At 2,300, he hits lefties extremely well, probably batting 7th. So the Cleveland stack could very well go overlooked for a couple reasons. One is ballpark situation, not great. Two is the classic traveling team on the West Coast always goes overlooked. So I think if you want a little bit of leverage in your lineup, you can look at a Cleveland stack as one that may not be nearly as popular as Texas Baltimore, Toronto Boston. And I don't know what to do with Toronto Boston, to be completely honest with you. I just don't trust those offenses. I just don't. They're a little bit frustrating. The Cleveland stack is very, very interesting to me. The other spots that I think you have to look at for leverage games that I really, really like, Oakland-Tampa Bay. I think this game also has leverage written all over it. Odorizzi versus Gossett. Now, Gossett, this guy is just not striking out anybody. 15% K rate. He is not a great pitcher. Odorizzi, we know, has a reverse splits problem. He's going to get hit by righties. He's not going to get hit hard by lefties. And we know that there are some power righties in this lineup. Ryan Healy, Chris Davis, for example. So I like the Oakland stack. I don't mind the Oakland mini stack. I also have no problem with the Tampa Bay lefties against Gossett. And when you look at Gossett, the issues really come from the fact that he can't generate any swinging strikes. He's trying to be a ground ball guy, but he's getting up 35% hard contact, and some of that hard contact is turning into home runs. You know, it's the lefties, it's the righties. It doesn't really matter who's getting to him. You know, they both are. The splits are not good against either side. But the hard contact is really coming from some righties as well as the home runs. So you have no problem with a raised stack here. You know, you've got Brad Miller back in the lineup. You've got Evan Longoria, who's always too cheap. You've got Logan Morrison, Steven Souza, all those guys. In fact, this may be a great, great, great spot for Steven Souza, a righty who hits righties better than he hits lefties. Against the guy who gives it up to righties. So Steven Souza should be in an interesting spot. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. Pencil it in. Steven Souza, pick to click. Boom. Guys, don't forget, tweet at me. Hey, Mr. Kane, or at the Lineup Logic DFS handle. Tweet me your hashtag Lineup Logic pick to click. I want to hear who you guys think are going to get those homers. I love talking about it. So tweet me that pick to click. Who's going to send the ball out tonight for me? Steven Souza, you heard it here. There it is. Boom. Just committed to it. Hadn't yet, but I like that situation. I talked myself through it. Steven Souza is my pick to click against Daniel Gossett. But like I said, the Oakland side is interesting against Odorizzi because you got these righties here. So Lowry's been batting in the five hole. If he's in the five hole again, just go get him. Why not? He's great. So Healy, Alonzo is a lefty, but Healy, Davis, and Lowry is certainly an interesting spot for some righty bats there. And Marcus Semien, cheap shortstop. Great fill-in there at the top of the order, too. If you need some infielders there, there's plenty of work you can do. Detroit, Kansas City, let's go. I saved the best for last, am I right? 92 degrees in Kauffman. You got to love this situation. Detroit only gets about one lefty a week. Here it is, Jason Vargas. Now, we loved the Vargas was pitching like a maniac in the beginning of the year. It's just poor guy hasn't held on. He gave the Royals all that they could handle while they were a terrible offense. But his numbers have regressed significantly. He is only at an 18% strikeout rate right now. Xip and Sierra are both up. You know, and it's because he's just getting knocked around. He's getting knocked around. We're seeing elevated contact numbers from both righties and lefties. You know, the July, the hard contact has continued to go up. The fly balls continue to go up for him. So I got to think that we can go to the righties on Detroit here against Vargas in this situation. Now, I think you limit how much your expectations against Vargas. Because I will say, even though he's been ballooning in a lot of his, you know, advanced statistics, he is a guy that has good control. You know, he's not going to get out of control. And we know that he has had some excellent games. He just has also had some really rough outings, like his Seattle start was recently a disaster. And he's been given up, you know, in the last four starts, he's given up 8 hits in 3 of those. So, you know, he's not striking people out. He's getting hit by teams that are kind of so-so. You got to think that the Toronto or the Detroit Tigers can get to him. They're the number one in hard contact rate in the league against lefties. So we got to look at the classics here. The Kinslers, Castellanos, Upton, Cabrera, JD, all those are the 5 that you're picking from. Feel free to go with any of them in any combination. Obviously, JD Martinez is pricey, but he is very often worth it. Now, the Kansas City side, you guys know I love Kansas City, and every time the hard part is that I have a hard time getting them right for whatever reason. But this total continues to go up for them. 5.4 runs projected against Jordan Zimmermann. And we know Zimmermann is a guy that gives up way, way too much hard contact. Just got shelled in his last outing against Cleveland. He is just, it's just 38% hard contact is too much hard contact, Jordan Zimmermann. So we go straight after the power bats both righties and lefties in because it doesn't matter. Like, he's going to get hit by both. We go straight after the power bats in Kansas City, you know, and you look at a guy like a great spot for a guy like Mike Moustakas, Sal Perez, Eric Hosmer, a cheap Lorenzo Cain. You know, you got to love even a Brandon Moss, who's just unbelievably inexpensive in the 7 hole, but has been excellent of late. Absolutely excellent of late in his recent run. Well, let's see. Well, let me make sure I get that right, because the numbers were excellent of late last week when I was researching Brandon Moss. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been hitting lefties really well, which is funny. So, small sample size alert on Moss there, I guess. Not my favorite, but gosh, he's so cheap and he will definitely go overlooked. But I mean, a guy like Sal Perez and Mike Moustakas in this case, geez Louise, they are just so, so, so appealing to me. Don't forget Jorge Bonifacio. I love Jorge Bonifacio. Don't forget leadoff batter Whit Merrifield or Lorenzo Cain in the 4-hole or 3-hole, excuse me. But I have no problem with stacking the Royals any way that you like here. Very inexpensive. The most expensive guy you're looking at is Hosmer, 3-4, which is ridiculous that Hosmer's the most expensive. But he has been playing well. I guess that's fair. You know, he has been playing pretty well up to a point. Yeah, his weekend series, he was not excellent. So the Detroit-Kansas City game is absolutely money. All right, so guys, that's it. I mean, we have 3 games from an offensive standpoint. Quick bat summary. Favorite offense on the night is probably Houston, followed by the Texas Bats. Then I love the game stack of Oakland, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Kansas City, and I think you absolutely wholeheartedly have to have Cleveland somewhere in your player pool because Matt Moore is so bad. That's what I'm thinking. Houston 1, Texas is 2. Then I'm looking for fill-ins of Oakland, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Kansas City, and Cleveland. Those are kind of all very much in the mix for me as excellent offensive options. I the total in Coors seems high. The public has treated it that way. I don't necessarily see that many runs being scored against these pitchers who are pretty good game managers. I don't think I'm going to attack Coors tonight. If it beats me, it beats me. That's going to be my approach to Coors. But let's jump over to FanDuel. Let's try to put some of these ideas together, and we'll make a lineup. Okay, so if we're looking at FanDuel today, you got to look at Lance McCullers in this spot. I just think there's too much to like here. There's too much to be concerned about in other spaces and other places. But if it makes you nervous, I understand. Makes me nervous a little bit too. But that said, he did just pitch against Seattle, so don't. He did pitch against them when he came back from his rehab start, so don't worry about it. He should be okay. I think he can manage the start. But if we're going with McCullers, then I think we've got a couple options here. We want to get some more Houston bats to back him up. Now, I'm not going to go with a full four-man stack because I already have McCullers, but I will comfortably go with Yuli Gurriel and George Springer, and that's going to kind of give me both ends of the lineup there. I know it's not a perfect stack correlation, but I do like Yuli Gurriel as a well-priced first baseman in this situation. So I have no problem going there. I'm going to get some Texas bats in the middle of my infield. Rougned Odor, Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrews. And I'm going to add Sinsu Chu to get a full four-man Texas stack. So I'm going to probably have 1 through 5 minus Nomar Mazara in my lineup here. And then I'm going to take a two-man Cleveland stack as well with Yan Gomes and Brandon Guyer. Just too cheap, Brandon Guyer. If he's going to be up towards the top of that order in the one or the two hole, got to have him. And Yan Gomes against such a bad pitcher. He has great numbers against lefties this year. And against a really bad lefty, you have to think he can be productive for you at $2,300. That's a great price for a catcher. So, McCullers, Yan Gomes, Yuli Gurriel, Rougned Odor, Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrus, George Springer, Brandon Guyer, and Sinsu Chu. So four-man Texas with a pair of Houston bats and a pair of Cleveland bats there is my offense. Guys, this is a really flexible slate. I think that you're going to find yourself building a lot of three-man stacks, a lot of two-man stacks. And in fact, as I was working on this lineup earlier, I had a cheaper version with a four-man, and I think you can still do it. I think I had a four-man Houston stack. I had Bregman in there. Let me see if I can do this again. I had Bregman and Correa in there. Oh, I can't do Bregman and Correa because I have McCullers at the top. That's the thing. Remember, you can't do a four-man Houston stack with McCullers, so you got to do a three-man. Either way, it's a very flexible slate. You can do tons of pairs. You can do tons of three-man stacks. It's a very interesting spot for different types of lineup construction, so enjoy it. It's going to be a good one. 12 games. Hey, if you want our premium product, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Check out the content on the website, lineuplogicdfs.com. Tons and tons and tons of writers getting up there recently. Shout out to all the new writing guys who are posting, Lineup Logic guys who are making great contributions. Sean Brown, James Culver, Joe Berg, new guy on the squad, Roto One, guys, look for him. So some really great content up there. Lineup Logic DFS on the regular. Of course, the classics, Ryan and Scott and Josh filling out your daily cheat sheet. The perfect help for someone who listens to the show and is a recreational DFS player, needs a little bit of lineup construction assistance. That is it for me. Enjoy your Monday night slate. Good luck in all your contests, guys, and I will see you tomorrow.